Hey, welcome to the List Film Podcast. I am Ricardo, one of your hosts. If you're new to the podcast, we are a weekly podcast where we pick a topic and then we list and discuss our top five favorite films, actors, what have you, actresses, screenwriters, cinematographers belonging to that topic. So our top five favorites. And usually it's four hosts, myself, Jenny, and Adam Scott, and Kevin. But Adam Scott isn't here.
Is he filming Parks and Recreation?
No, yeah. Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
So today we have myself, Ricardo.
Jenny.
Kevin.
And our guest host, one Eric Edwards.
Hi, how are you? I'm Eric Edwards.
And Eric Edwards, where do people know you from?
They know me from such classics as National Lampoon's Senior Trip, starring two-time Academy Award nominee Jeremy Renner.
Yeah.
Problem Child 2 with, God rest his soul.
Ritter?
John Ritter.
John Ritter.
Yeah, see, I got an R thing going. Little Rascals. Beverly Hillbillies. What's another good one? And Blade, of course. That's a big one. And then recently, Parks and Recreation and Criminal Minds. And
that's right.
Voices on American Dad.
Yeah. And then you do stand-up?
Yes.
We could find you on Twitter, probably. And you kind of announce when you're going up
that
night.
Actually, no, I do it more on Facebook. I need to really start doing this Twitter thing. I don't think it's going away.
Yeah.
No. Or is there some technology coming up that I need to just get a jump on?
I think if you do Twitter, there's a way to link your Twitter
to your
Facebook. So
mm-hmm.
You just got to do it in one, and it'll go to the next one.
That's what I got to do. I got to set up that because it's much easier. Because
you don't want to do two. It's kind of
redundant.
Yeah.
You just do one, have it repeat. You know, but I got to start. Yeah, I'm gonna start to do a little more self promotion.
Yeah,
because that's what everybody else is doing. So
you should.
I got something to say. People with less credits. I'm connected closer to Kevin Bacon than a lot of people that have Twitter. So right.
Yeah,
right.
I agree.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you could find Eric at ericedwards.com.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Yeah,
I'm right.
Yeah, you are 100%.
I didn't even write it down. It's bam. It's in my head.
That's right. That's what I like about you. That's what I like about you. Memory like a
Mexican burro.
I hear they're quite knowledgeable.
Yeah.
Well, once they're taught.
Yeah.
Once they're taught.
Yeah. And so this week we're talking about character actors, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
I dig them. And before we get into that, has anybody seen anything in theaters that they want to talk about? What's going on? Anything that you've seen on that, like, where it's like, damn, that was amazing or anything? Eric?
Well, I saw, of course, I love The Avengers, which was just awesome, and it was kind of cool because I'm about ready to have a kid in the next about 5 months.
You should name him Hawkeye.
I was so close to thinking about naming it. I would like to name it Hawkeye.
Or Tony Stark.
Tony Stark Edwards. Yeah. I was going to name it, you know, Jacob, but then, you know, everyone would think it would be Twilight.
And yeah.
I've only seen 1 minute of Twilight.
Or Jacob's Ladder.
That's what I was thinking of. But what was the coolest thing is how good that movie was, is that, you know, people of all ages, but to hear the kids that were like probably 6 or 7 behind me cheering when like Thor came out, and like I was like, oh, I can't wait to be experience this with my kid.
Yeah.
And I saw the new Dark Shadows and I truly enjoyed it.
Really?
I had some people that did not, but you know, I had a good time with it. But I had a nice jewel came on my television set called American History X, which I came very close to getting a part in that movie. But that all aside, that is one amazing, amazing movie.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it is. Oh,
it's really, really, really good. And it's I think Tony Kaye had problems with, you know,
he had problems with Edward Norton.
Yeah.
But
who the version you see
is Ed Norton's cut.
Is Ed Norton's cut?
Yeah. And I was acquaintance of the girl that played his sister.
Okay, yeah.
And she had a buddy of mine had seen Tony Kaye's cut because she had got a copy of Tony Kaye's cut, and I think Tony Kaye's cut might have from what I heard is he had a little more visual. There's this, you know, the scene where they're fighting, that him and Elliot Gould are fighting at the table. It starts off with a shot of Ed Furlong's face through the pitcher of water, and it's all distorted, kind of showing how, like, you know, this is distorting. And, like, stuff like, I think some of that nuance got cut out, but that all aside, it's still a great movie.
Yeah, that's...
And I would still love to see Tony Kaye's cut, because he's supposed to be pretty visual. But, it got me kind of inspired. I was like, man, this is really... I mean, and also... Ed Furlong is a really freaking good little. I mean, he's really, really good.
Yeah. When I mean, I think when he's got a good director, he's on. But when he's got a bad director, sometimes he's not so good.
Maybe. Like, I like Detroit Rock City with him. Yeah. I'm actually looking forward to see For the Love of Money with him and Johnny Lipnicki.
Yeah.
To see. Because what I just saw of the trailer of him, I was like, man, he's. I mean, I want him to be good because, I mean, you know, I just what he did in, like, you know, those, you know, Detroit Rock City and the first, you know, Terminator 2 and.
Wasn't he in Pecker?
But speaking of that's a John Waters film. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think about John Waters as a director?
I don't hate him.
I gotta like Crybaby. I really liked.
He's hot and cold.
Yeah. Yeah. You know. I
like him as an actor.
Yes. as a character actor.
Yeah. And I like his. He does voiceover sometimes. He did. We just talked about him last week. He did the voiceover for that documentary. Plagues and Pleasures at the Salton Sea. And he did the voiceover for that documentary.
The narration, you mean?
Yeah, narration.
Oh, yeah, because he's done a few things, too. Yeah. I think he did something with about milk. But it's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. That movie's really good. And Tony Kaye does come from music videos. So
and commercials, too.
Yeah, yeah. So, and I think he just finished his new movie, didn't he? I just read something about Tony Kaye.
Well, I know he had that teacher movie with Adrian Brody, which went to video on demand.
Yeah.
Oh, it did. That's what I was wondering, because it had a great cast. So it did not get a release. It got a video on demand release.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing it in theaters, but I saw it that it was playing on video on demand.
What happened to Adrian Brody?
He's around. He's in that, and then he's in a new movie. What's that new movie? School, high school, or what is it called? Where he's a stoner.
Well, there's a new movie that a buddy of mine produced with the ShamWow guy.
Really?
It's like the sequel to the underground comedy thing. I think they just came up with this money for a day.
Wow.
But yeah, it's crazy.
So let's get let's move on to our stream of the week, which is courtesy of me. Yeah, Top Gun. if you're into, you know, guys without shirts playing volleyball.
Oh yes.
This is your movie. If you're into Berlin.
It's really your movie. And also Kenny Loggins.
Yeah. Yep. That's right.
Can't forget him. And Tony Scott, was that the director?
And yeah. Yep. That's right. It's funny. I was watching some of the commentary stuff. I think the time you lent to me. And they were talking about how they were doing some scenes on the aircraft carrier.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a sunset. Something about the sun. It was like a perfect shot. And they couldn't get the cameras rolling on time.
Mm.
And they were shooting on a real aircraft carrier, and Tony Scott went to the captain, right? It'd be the captain of the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, is there any way we could turn the boat back around just for a bit so I can get in the shot? And he's like, nope. And he's like, yeah, I understand. It's just a quick turn. He's like, nope. He's like, it would cost us $35,000. And he's like, go get me my checkbook.
Oh,
and
wow.
His assistant went and got him his checkbook, and he wrote out a check for $35,000. And as soon as he handed it over, he's like, all right, let's turn it around.
Damn. That's
awesome. Wow.
$35,000 for the U.S. government.
Yeah, but Tony Scott shits that.
Yeah, no, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Really, because he can do
it. At that time, especially.
Well, actually, now, because he does, like, him and his brother both do commercials a lot more than they do feature film. They're making,
that's
like,
how they started.
$100,000. Like, I think, I mean, it's crazy what they make to shoot a commercial.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they literally pooped that.
Yeah, and they really champion a lot of like up and coming directors and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, they do.
Or directors that they really like. Like they produced The Gray.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh.
Tony Scott, both of the Scott brothers produced The Gray.
Which I really really loved.
Yeah,
it's interesting. I also try to figure out who's better, Ridley or Tony.
It
flip flops because Tony had. You know, Top Gun, Crimson Tide, which I, in The Hunger, everyone forgets he did The Hunger.
That's right.
And also True Romance.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but then you go to, you know, Blade Runner, Aliens, Black Hawk Down. It's what a talented two angry brothers from New Zealand or Australia?
I think they're from London.
No,
they're
South, UK. Are they South African?
I think they're UK.
Are they UK?
Yep. Mm. Yep.
You can look at the IMDb and find out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And speaking of Top Gun, yeah. Our stream of the week, there's a lot of character actors in that as well.
Mm-hmm. I worked with Michael Tonkin, right? I worked with him in Problem Child, too.
John Stockwell, Tim Robbins. I mean, Tim Robbins became a leading man, but I mean, James, like you said, James Tonkin. Adrian Pasdar, the guy.
The guy
from Heroes.
Yes.
And from Near Dark.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And Anthony Edwards. He always plays leading guys on TV, but he's a character actor in movies.
It's really weird. Early Anthony Edwards, he kind of was like a poor man's John Cusack, you know, where he's kind of that like nice guy lead. But once the hair kind of left, he sort of became that third banana. Mostly, he's not really – it's real weird. And TV is always part of an ensemble. He would be a character actor in the ensemble. But, yeah, it depends on what your definition of – you know, how are we defining character actor?
Well, let's talk about that. Let's get into it. So our stream of the week was Top Gun, and now let's get to it. Let's start talking about our character actors. You describe it, what you thought of it.
Well, there's two types of character actors. There's a person that's a non-leading man, you know, that it's for the most part it's they're not the good-looking guy. They're the third, fourth, fifth banana, or they look like a very specific type of regular guy.
Yeah.
Or a freakish guy.
Yeah.
It's non normal looking person.
Yeah, yeah. And
they got character. They have character.
Yeah. And sometimes they get cast in leads,
of course,
but very, very seldom.
Or they're just that they're popular. Those are normally people that generally goes to comedians.
Yeah.
Can make that jump.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then there's people that play different human beings every time.
Yeah.
Like they can literally morph themselves into a different character.
Yeah.
Different type of person. That's the rub.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I think I went with more like the people who don't get cast in the lead. That's
generally, I think that's sort of what I – because we'd actually discussed this briefly the other day.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, that's your definition. So, okay, I was thinking about that.
It was pretty clear.
It is pretty clear. So, that's what I went with.
Yeah.
That's what I went with.
Did you, Kevin?
I pretty much went with that.
Yeah. All right, so since Eric is our guest, he shall go first.
Okay, now we're going five up, right?
Yeah, from five to one. Yeah.
Now we're going for the – are we going for the human or are we going for the film?
Go the human, then we'll talk about some other films.
Okay, cool, because I actually had like five films that were chucked.
Okay, yeah.
Filled with, but I'm going to go with the my first one is number five, Vincent Scavilli. Is that it? He was in Cuckoo's Nest. It was actually called the rumor had it. There's this thing called it's called the Scavilli standard where he was actually paid by the word.
Really?
That's how I don't know if it's urban myth. It was or Hollywood myth. I know someone had told me that he was so popular or such an important character actor that he would literally be paid by the word.
Wow.
Wow.
And I went through the list like, you know, Cuckoo's Nest. Oh my God. A Buckaroo Banzai, over 180 films, Ghost, and I mean, like, and he really, you really know his face,
And he's got a weird, I don't want to say freakish face.
No, he is freakish.
Yeah, it's just odd. He's got like sunken eyes.
Yes,
and, like, the most popular movie you'd recognize him in is either. Fast Times. No, I'm sorry.
Fast Times.
Fast Times.
He was a teacher. He was huge.
That's right.
And the big joke was.
Was he in Better Off Dead?
Probably. I think he might have been in that as well.
Wasn't he asking Lloyd?
Yes.
Lloyd.
Whatever the
John, Lane,
his character is. Yeah. Is she saying you broke up, right?
Yeah.
Can I ask her out?
Yeah.
But the big punchline in Fast Times was, you know, he's this, you know, very odd looking man. You know, he's a science teacher, and that the big punchline at the end is his wife is smoking hot.
Yeah.
You know, and then also he's one of those guys that he could be very scary looking or very comical looking.
Or very, very like a scary kind looking.
Yes.
Like he's the gentle giant sometimes he plays.
Yes.
Yeah. And you also might know him in Ghost. He's a guy who teaches Patrick Swayze how to actually like physically move things as a ghost.
Yeah. He gives him ghost protocol.
Yeah. Yeah, basically.
And go see it on DVD.
Yeah.
Starring Jeremy Renner.
and so, yeah, I really like this guy.
Yeah.
He's definitely in my honorable mentions.
And he's still alive, I believe.
I think he might have passed.
Oh, hold on. Let's see. Let's find out.
Yeah, 2005.
Son of a gun.
Yeah.
All right. I guess I didn't look that up on IMDb.
But still, he's a great actor and a good number five pick.
That was my number five.
Yeah, great number five pick.
Okay, so my number five, actually, I just recently saw him in a movie a couple weeks ago, and it made me think about him. Richard Jenkins.
Nice. Yeah.
Oh, Richard Jenkins. Yes. Yeah. Was it Cabin in the Woods?
Yes.
How awesome was he in that?
Yes, he was so good. He's one of those actors that every time you see him, you're just like, God, I love that guy. I like when he's in stuff.
Yes, and you know, what made me a huge super fan of his, I mean, this guy is one of the greatest actors, was North Country.
Oh, he's so good.
The speech he gives in front of the union about his daughter, I'm like, what? He should have been nominated for Academy Award for that.
He should have.
Yeah.
That, I mean, the way the tears are just building up and he's trying to hold it.
He's
holding
like, back.
That's my daughter.
Mm-hmm. And it's like that is how a father defends, you know, a father who loves his daughter. That's a huge. He was one of my like. Oh, someone's gonna pick him, so I'm not gonna.
Good. Yeah. No. Yeah. I love him. He can be funny, but he can also be like super serious. And mm-hmm. He's just one of those guys that has that face that almost he's like always the same type of character, mm-hmm. but he's just really good at everything.
I guess where would people know him from? Like if they're not. You know,
Step Brothers.
That's what
he played the dad of Will Ferrell. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And he. And then
Six Feet Under.
He's the dad.
Oh, he's so great in 6 Feet Under.
Yeah. Yes, I just got into that, and he's super.
Oh,
good in that.
That's a great, not a bad. The worst episode of that entire series is the series
finale.
And it's only the last 4 minutes of it.
Oh, really?
Just the last, or maybe the last 2 minutes of it.
I've never seen it, and she hasn't seen the
it's
finale.
It's so good. I haven't. It's such a good show.
It's a great show.
Yeah, I like it so far.
And just to recap, your actor, Eric, never did a film where he was a lead, ever.
Ever, yeah.
And your character did.
Yes.
Jenny. And he was in The Visitor.
The Visitor. So good in The Visitor.
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
It's really good.
Oh, it's such a treat. He's awesome. He's awesome.
Yeah, and the director of that, Thomas McCarthy, watching the commentary maybe the interview in the DVD, he talked about how he called Richard Jenkins and said, hey, I have the script, The Visitors, for you, and I want you to do it. And he's like, okay, what part do you want me to do it? He read it, and he's like, what part? He's like, the lead. He's like, oh. He's like, well, if you want me to do it, I can tell you right now, you're not going to get money for it because you just won't get funding. I can tell you right now. And he's like, no. He's like, I'm going to wait and do it with you. So however long it takes, I'm going to raise the money. And he did. He waited for him.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That's awesome.
And and Thomas McCarthy is a great writer and a great director, and that movie is amazing.
Yeah.
What else has he done?
Station Agent.
Last one was Win Win.
Yeah, Win Win.
Oh, I like Win Win a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just had one tiny problem. I think there was too much extra drama. That it wasn't necessary. Kind of like my problem with The Warrior.
Okay.
It's like just the drama of a detached child is all you really, you know, all you really need.
Yeah.
That's, you know, everything else isn't as, you know, kind of contrives it, you know, like there was all this stuff, you know, him robbing, him stealing, all that wasn't, I mean, to me that, but you know what it was, I enjoyed it. I loved it. But I wish to God I could make such a mistake, it was really, I mean, it was, the acting was amazing and all that, but I just a little bit with the, that's why I get a little frightened. You don't need to put, it doesn't need to be that, isn't just the, a child being displaced enough?
That's
dramatic enough. Yeah.
And he's also good and a good actor, Thomas McCarthy. He was in
he's a character actor too, right?
He's a character too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was in The Wire.
Yeah.
You might know him in The Wire. He played the reporter.
The one that like really sold us, wow, he is a phenomenal actor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he was also in 2012. He played Amanda Peet's new husband.
And
he's actually written a lot for Pixar and stuff like that. Like he wrote, I want to say Up. He co-wrote. And,
wow.
Yeah, he definitely contributed to Up.
Wow. Yeah. That's a full of character voices.
Yeah.
You know.
So he's not only a great writer, good actor, and good director. Mm. And, you know, mm-hmm. The Visitors, if you haven't seen it, check out The Visitors.
Well, look, Station Agent, the lead is Dinklage.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
That's really, he takes care of his own.
Yeah.
He does.
Yeah.
And both have gotten, those two movies, the leads.
Got a lot of awards.
Got a lot of awards. Yeah.
Buzz for them.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It really put Peter Dinklage on the map here.
Yeah. And Bobby, what's his name? The Bobby Custis or something.
Oh, Carnival.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It took him to a different level. Yeah. It really did. Because he was, was he in Station Agent? Yeah. Was he? That's right. Yeah. I just know him from Win-Win.
Yeah.
And he was great in Win-Win.
Yeah.
And he's also great on Nurse Jackie right now.
And also the girl who was in Station Agent was good too.
Patricia Clarkson.
Mm. Yeah.
Not only that, but the young girl. What's her name? The Heath Ledger's widow.
Oh, Michelle Williams.
Yeah. Yes. She was in that.
She just... Man,
that movie kind of like really pushed her to like, hey, wow, this girl took isn't her, just
was, yes, that, was that was that was that pre?
It was right after Dawson's
that,
Creek.
No, but that was pre Brokeback.
Oh, it was pre-Brokeback. Yeah, yeah.
No, wow.
And it kind of showed people like, hey, look, if this girl isn't just like a TV star.
Yeah,
like,
she really good. Is just. Cool. She's really crazy good.
Yeah. Oh. So good pick. I'm glad you put him on there because there's so many. The list for this was so huge.
Yeah, that, huge, like, yeah. Dude. Super huge. And like people go, oh, yeah, I guess they are a character actor now.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they weren't 10 years ago, 20 years ago, you know, but now they are.
Yeah. Well, for my number five, I hope I'm not cock blocking anybody, but I put Pete Postlethwaite.
Very nice.
Almost on my list.
Yeah.
Very nice. That was, he was, once again, went by mine as well. Just for, you know, his stuff. Yeah.
And so what you might know him as, like the most recent thing, the two big things that he did before he passed away, which he passed away last year. He did The Town. He played The Florist.
Oh, so good.
Yeah. Was that the last thing that he did?
I think he did one more thing.
Well, he was in Inception, but Inception came before The Town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he did a movie called Killing Bono as his last movie.
Oh.
But yeah, and then he played the father of, what's this guy's actor's name?
Cillian Murphy.
Cillian Murphy. Yeah.
He's the big part of the movie. Like that's who they have to kind of.
And wasn't he Kaiser Susse, but he was Kaiser Susse's assistant in Usual Suspects.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was the name of the father.
The name of the father. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
And he was
Romeo Juliet.
He played the father, the priest.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
And he's a great, you know, British actor. And, you know, everything he did was just like so honest, if that makes any sense, you know.
He was on my wife's list.
Really?
Yeah,
really?
She was like, you know, liking to help me out, you know, and that was her second name. Oh, she doesn't know the name. She just goes, you know, that guy from, Pete Postlethwaite, you know, just like, I think so.
Yeah. I would never remember his name. I actually had to IMDb him real quick to see what he looked like. But right when you see their face,
oh,
it's like,
you so know.
And great, great actor. I don't think he ever headlined a movie as a lead, from what I remember. But yeah, he was always awesome in every little part he was. He kind of was like a scene stealer. Not in a bad way, in a good way. In a, wow, I wish he was more, his character was in the movie a lot more. He always wished that.
Yeah. Totally.
So that is my number five.
Nice. Okay, so my number five is Bill Lumbergh, Gary Cole.
Nice.
Gary Cole?
Gary Cole.
Awesome. Nice. Yes. Nice.
When I was making this list, because I had a list of like 30 people, and then I just started going, okay, who are the people that I didn't know their names, but I remember their faces, and then when I started to learn who they were, I was just like, oh, I love that person in that movie. I love them in that. And Gary Cole was just definitely one of the people.
Yeah.
When I first learned who he was, and I went, holy crap, that was the guy that played Mike Brady in the Brady Bunch movie, which isn't a very good movie, but he's great.
I argue with you. Yes, for what it is, it's very good.
Okay, for what it is. Yes. Okay, for what it is, it's very good.
It's one of next to 21 Jump Street.
Yes.
It's the
best. Yes, there you go.
It's the best. I've been in three debacles of TV series to made to movies. It is, I would say, the number two. It held the reins of the best, maybe Charlie's Angels, but
it's better than Charlie's.
But yeah, but Gary Cole, that's a good pick. And it's so weird. He started off as a leading man, in TV.
He did,
and he's also one of those guys that definitely kind of almost becomes a different person, especially with his voice.
He does, and that was one of the things that I really love, his voice acting. Harvey Birdman is just one of my favorite just shows ever. From Adult Swim. I mean, I love Harvey Birdman. Yeah. But he can play a drug dealer in Pineapple Express, and he's great. And he he can be kind of scary because he's playing a drug dealer. And then, I mean, as Ricky Bobby's father in Talladega Nights, he's hilarious.
And just a full human being, too.
Yes. Yep. And just steals the show at times. And then, of course, Office Space.
Right.
I mean, that's like his iconic role that everybody just recognizes him from that. But, I mean, he's great. I mean, even when he just does like small parts where he plays like an FBI or like a CIA agent on Arrested Development, he's great. He just does a great job whenever he's working.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Midnight Caller.
Yeah.
Wasn't that his series?
Yeah.
Oh, yep. So good.
Great, great. It's funny, like you say, like he could play the jerk. He plays, and it's funny because when I heard, like, oh, he's going to be in the new James Franco movie, he's playing, like, the head, like, drug lord. And I was like, what? And then when I saw it, I'm like, wow, no, he sold the menacing. It's funny because he didn't go, like, over the top, like, hey, I'm going to kill people. It was, like, just, like, so very subtle, like, like, hey, I'm relaxed because I'm a tough guy. I'm just relaxed. And, no, he's definitely great actor. Good number. Good pick.
Okay, I'm going to change mine because I thought of someone. John C. Reilly is my number three.
Number four.
Well, I skipped. No, John C. Reilly is my number four. I was between him and John C. McGinley.
Oh, okay.
I love John C. McGinley, but he hasn't done film like he used to.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's kind of living off that Scrubs money.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I just realized, I've said so many times, John C. Reilly might be the funniest human being to walk the face of the earth that's not a stand-up comic.
Yeah. And
I didn't know he should be a stand-up. I bet he would be really good.
But what's crazy is he can play, everyone forgets he's a phenomenal dramatic actor.
Yeah.
As well, and he's a phenomenal singer.
Yep.
He's a real huge, and his face is so awesome.
Caveman.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, in like the two movies he's recently, him and Marissa Tomei really were the only reason to watch Cyrus. Okay, I mean, he really acted. I mean, there was a weak link in that movie, but he was brilliant in it. Just so, you wanted to hug him at every moment.
Yes.
And then in Cedar Frickin' Rapids.
God, I love that.
He was so I was just taking my hat and going, man, he's really fucking funny.
He's R2-D2.
And just him, it's interesting to see, like, you know, Step Brothers, he can kind of go way over the top, but he's still kind of, he's still centered. Like even Ricky,
Talladega Nights.
Just how sincere he is when he's calling, talking about his marital problems with, you know, it's my stepwife. You know, that's my wife. I know, but you're my best friend. I mean, he's just so sincere. And then, you know, and also his, you know, just his dramatic work from like the De Palma movie with Michael J. Fox and Sean Penn. Jesus, about Vietnam.
Casualties of War.
And Boogie Nights.
Yeah.
Chicago.
I mean, he really is just, and was he in The Hours as well? No, what's the movie he did with, Nicole Kidman? I just subbed him in because I was torn between the two Johns and, I have to give it to John C. Reilly.
Also, definitely. In Magnolia plays such a.
Oh,
it's
God,
really serious, but he plays like certain comedic. He plays the comedic relief so well.
You know, I would almost call it sincere relief.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he's so almost not pathetic. He's kind of pathetic because he's so and wants this girl to like him, and he's so just.
I mean,
lovable
and downtrodden. Endearing.
He's endearing relief.
Yes.
Endearing relief.
And then also, like, when you first meet his character, it seems like he's in an episode of Cops.
Yes.
but he's just talking to himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he's describing himself to himself. And he's also in The Aviator. He plays Beatrix. And he's in a movie called Criminal. I don't know if you've seen it. It's a remake of a movie called Nine Queens from Spain. But I thought he did a really good job. He played against Diego Luna, which are two kind of character actors, and they were both the leads, and they were really, really, really good. Mm-hmm. And you should check that out if you haven't seen it.
And you should check it out with Steve Brule because he is so good as Steve Brule. It's a show on Adult Swim. It's a spinoff of Tim and Eric's awesome show, and he plays this like, guy who's like, on like
he's like a Hugh Hauser type.
Yeah.
Like
oh yeah, I've
and
seen that.
It's genius.
Yeah. Oh wow,
And it's really, it's like a 10-minute show, I think.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, it's really, really interesting. And they do it like it's a public access show.
Yeah.
So oh, cool. It's like even like the graphics are kind of crappy and like the like transitions are very like 80s.
Uh-huh.
And it's really well done, I thought. So check that out. And good number, good pick.
Yeah.
Yeah, great pick.
All right, so my number four is that second type of character actor that you're talking about that can just change their face, the look about them, and he can just fit anything. And so I picked Alan Rickman as my number four.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah, that's really, wow. Wow, good one. Yeah.
Not only a good character actor in both senses.
Yeah.
Definitely.
He usually plays a supporting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, and he does change. He's
totally. He can be really funny, like, in Galaxy Quest. And yes. Then he can be really, really scary and serious, like, in Harry Potter. And then he can be super normal, like, a dad in Love Actually.
Yep. And wow, yeah.
He's just,
or in
like,
Die Hard.
Or in Die Hard. He can be, what
Mr.
is he,
Cowboy?
Russian?
Mr. Cowboy.
As a great villain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's his character name again?
Hans.
Hans Gruber.
Yep.
Hey, Hans. Oh, man. Yeah, good choice.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I really liked him in the Kevin Smith movie, Dogma.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah.
He just steals the show.
He does. He really does steal. Is he the devil?
No, he's the angel. He's the voice of God.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And has no penis.
Yeah. He's like, are you going to rape me? He's like, no, I don't have a penis.
And he
drops his pants.
Wow, good pick, Jenny.
Yeah.
That's a really good pick. One.
And yeah, I love him in Galaxy Quest.
I do too.
I'm so bummed. There was talk of making a sequel to that.
Oh, that'd be great.
And that's like one. That's a phenomenal. That's basically, well, it's
Three Amigos.
It's Three Amigos, or technically, it's once again another comedy version of Seven Samurais or Magnificent Seven.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. You know, but yeah, Three Amigos in space is the easy thing to it, and it was so. You know what I do? I love great actors playing stereotypes of actors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The pettiness, capturing the pettiness that we sometimes have.
Sam Rockwell was...
I'm the red shirt, man. Everybody, my buddy Daryl Chill Mitchell's in that movie.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm the black guy, you know.
I like when he's like, does anybody have any suggestions? And Sam Rockwell's like, look around you. Could you develop a rudimentary lathe? Like, get him off the call.
And then by the end, when Rickman's like, his makeup is all fucked up.
Yeah.
There was a lot of good character actors in that movie as well. Yeah, there was.
Yeah.
Good pick. I like it. I like it a lot. So far, good picks. I haven't encountered one where I'm like, nah, it's all right.
No one's cock-blocked each other yet.
No, either. Yeah, yeah. My number four is Michael Ironside.
Nice.
Oh, wow, dude. You're going old school.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's like big-time 80s and 70s. Yeah.
And so what people might know him as is he's in Total Recall.
Uh-huh.
He's the guy that works for...
Cohagen,
and he's like the right hand man. He's the bald. He's bald. I think so. I think he has a little bit of hair on the side.
You got his picture?
Yeah.
Make sure because I think I got a reference to make of him.
He's got a little bit of hair on the side.
You know what? He's like a poor man's Powers Booth.
Yeah.
Booth is a poor man's Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah.
So he's like three times removed, you know, but he's great.
He was in Top Gun. We just talked about Top Gun.
Yeah.
He played Jester's like second command.
In
the academy.
Yeah.
He's actually the guy who goes up. He is Jester because Viper is Tom Skerritt, right?
Tom Skerritt, he's Jester.
And he's amazing in that, and he's amazing in everything he's done. He was in The Machinist.
Yeah, he's a great actor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he's in a ton of stuff. And once you see him, you're like, I know this guy. And this is one of the actors that, as a director, I'm like, this is the guy I want to work with before he passes away because he's getting up there in age I'd love to work with this guy.
You know what it is? If you find with a lot of these guys, they're so amazing. Because I've been very fortunate. Like I did a really shitty movie that I don't tell anybody I've ever did. It had two Coreys in it. That's all I'll say. And they had two old character actors that had been acting literally. Well, they knew James Dean from the actor studio back in the 50s and stuff. So, and trust me, this script was the shittiest script I ever read. And the LA Times actually said it was, at the time, the worst movie ever made. They said it made Troll 2 look good.
Wow.
It's a really bad movie. They picked up this shitty script, and they had you laughing. But it's from doing – because they just work constantly.
Yeah.
You know, like Michael Ironside, you know, where – Leonardo DiCaprio does what, maybe one film a year, two?
Yeah.
He'll do like five.
Yeah. Michael Ironside has made like 207 films.
Yeah. In TV.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's crazy.
And yeah. And the thing is, he was just on Community. I forgot about that.
Oh, that's who did he?
Who was he on Community?
He was Colonel Archwood.
Oh, that's right.
In the Pillow War thing, or
I think
no, yeah. It was no. The one with the plant where the smashed plant. He was the military guy.
Yeah. Okay, the Law and Order episode.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The Law and Order episode.
Yeah. Yes.
And he's been in a ton of stuff. You know, IMDb him. You'll see. He's just a great. He's in Starship Troopers.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So the director of Vanderhoven, is that it?
Paul Verhoeven.
Paul Verhoeven likes him.
He does like him.
Yeah. And so, yeah, that's my
number four.
Was
he in Showgirls?
No. Not in Showgirls. No. But, yeah, he's a great actor and great in everything he's done. Mm. Really dig him. That's my number four.
Nice. Okay, so my number four, I love this actor. He can go from comedic to drama really well. And it's Brian Cox.
Good call.
When I was doing this list, I almost just said, you know, I'm just going to take Deadwood and just start taking everybody from Deadwood and make my list out of Deadwood. Because I have another actor on here who's from Deadwood as well. But everything he does is terrific. I mean, Rushmore, Super Troopers. He's great in LIE. He's great as Stryker in X2.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite performances of his is Melvin Belli in Zodiac because whenever he's on screen, he's awesome. And then, of course, Deadwood. He's great in every scene that he's in Deadwood.
That was my wife's number two pick.
Oh, nice.
Brian Cox. Also, 25th Hour, right?
25th Hour.
That whole Spoon River he gives at the end about like saying what it's like. Oh, man. Yeah, he really is a steam sealer.
He is. I mean, even just like the small amounts he's in Braveheart. Where he's playing the uncle. Mm-hmm. Great stuff.
He played even a really good villain in The Bourne Supremacy.
Yes.
And I love him in The Long Kiss Goodnight, where he's very panicked and he's drinking constantly throughout. But he's great in The Long Kiss Goodnight as well.
And also, in this guy's headline movies, he was in... he's kind of headline movies. He was in Running with Scissors.
Yeah, he's
almost an ensemble. The ensemble of the star.
You're right.
Yeah.
He's never because really, really taken. He's never really just been the lead.
Like carry the heat.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
in some of it, maybe some of the stuff he did in England. Possibly. Maybe, yeah. Was he in not Kinky Boots, but Calendar Girls, or the thing with the two cops, the cop stripping? What was that? Remember that?
What is it called?
I don't know, but that's also every English movie for a while. We got to raise money. People that are regular will get naked. That was
Full Monty?
Full Monty. That's it. Yeah. Was he in the Full Monty?
No, he wasn't. But no, this guy's really good, and I love him. He was great as the dad / psychiatrist in.
I mean, he stole the show. He was probably the best part of that movie.
Yeah.
And
that's for the Glee lovers. That's
Ryan Murphy.
Ryan Murphy. Check the movie out. I enjoyed it. I know some people had problems with it.
Wait, what movie?
Running with Scissors.
I love
with Scissors.
Good movie.
Yeah. I love the use of
music
in that movie. Especially the scene with, what's his name? Benny the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
When they're banging on the ceiling.
Yeah, that's a great scene, I thought. But yeah, that is your number four, Kev?
Number four.
Cool.
Number Trey?
Yeah.
Number three, Danny DeVito.
Nice.
I pull that one in. Yeah,
I know.
Danny fucking DeVito. He's no, I mean, because
Trollfoot.
What?
Trollfoot.
Trollfoot. But Cuckoo's Nest, Terms of Endearment, Taxi, Hoffa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
War of the Roses, you know, and then like you
Man
know,
on the Moon.
Man on the Moon. I mean, he was, even though I did not like Batman Returns. He was one of the better parts of it.
Yeah.
Twins. He headlined Twins.
See, it's interesting. He did make Ruthless People.
Yeah.
He did have like a little bit of a Tin Man.
Romancing the Stone.
Romancing. So he's good at like, once again, like Romancing the Stone is definitely the third or fourth guy. That was a Michael Douglas, Kathleen Turner movie. Yeah. But, and also Jewel of the Nile. But he, like Twins. Who could forget Twins? Yeah. I mean, that's, and they're also, I think they're doing Twins too.
Yeah.
Triplets. Which Triplets.
Triplets. Yeah.
And then Sonny in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
He's just, and he's a great producer.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. He's a great director.
Yep.
And
he's stepped up and produced a lot of good films. Or
great films. Pulp Fiction.
Films that weren't getting enough heat, he put his name on it and then kind of developed heat for them.
And also, he's the reason why Reno 911 became successful.
Yeah.
Because I actually read that when it was a full scripted show. Yeah. When they were going to spoof, they were spoofing Cops. So this thing had been floating around with his company since 1992.
Oh, wow.
91, 92. And I was like, well, this just, it doesn't. And then eventually they were smart and they got people that had kind of worked together and they did it loose. And, it, you know, that's a great show as well. But yeah, Danny DeVito is my number three. Yeah. And I adore the man. I hear he's also just nothing but a nice guy.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard.
You know, which is awesome. And he, you know, he married Rena,
Rhea Perlman.
Rhea Perlman.
Mm-hmm.
He's really good in. I guess he's kind of the lead in Matilda.
Yeah,
Matilda's.
Yeah,
really,
he's really funny in that.
He's
really
kind of like horrible in that. I mean, his character is
like he could be despicable and he could be also very lovable.
Yeah,
but he is great at making very despicable human beings likable.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know, and like I just he's one of those people that like you notice like a lot of times we bring up these guys' name, you mention their name, you automatically get some sort of smile to your face.
Yeah.
Because they just produce such good memories for you.
Yeah.
And you know, I just remember as a kid, just him and Taxi, finally when they actually have him come out of the cage, and he's, you know, 4'11", or four, you know, and I just remember the famous episode where Laka's girlfriend, they have to set someone up with their true love, and they're like, who are they going to get for him? And they get him a blind girl. And I was like, it was just genius, you know? He's awesome. I would say Ricky Gervais was probably influenced a lot by Danny Vito. Didn't even know it. They definitely have their sort of similar paths.
I really like him in Romancing the Stone.
Oh, he's amazing in Romancing the Stone.
Yeah.
You know?
I like early Danny DeVito a lot. He's just so, like you said, it's kind of, even in Romancing the Stone, he plays such a, like a skeezy scumbag. Mm-hmm. But you're like, I laugh every time I see him.
Yep.
Like, always laughing when he's on screen.
Even Twins, he's the scumbag.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know?
But he's lovable.
He's lovable,
Well, because he's, you know,
4'11". Well, all of Sonny, the stuff he does in Sonny in Philadelphia is horrible.
Yeah.
Nasty human being.
And I feel every year he must become a bigger sort because I feel like every year they want to make him more and more disgusting as a person.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just him and Charlie's whole relationship of like getting naked in the sewer and diving and sniffing glue and him shitting in the bed, and, you know. But him being, you know, hiding in the couch and literally coming out looking like a fetus.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
he's afraid. He is fearless. He is a fearless human being.
I don't know if it was when we went to see him at Comic-Con, Jenny, or if it was the commentary that I heard. It was about It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And somebody asked, it might have been the Q&A we saw, that they asked him if the crew if they had ever written an episode where Danny DeVito said no, like, I wouldn't do this. And they said once we wrote a script as a joke, and they wrote like horrible things like for him to do, and they sent him the thing, and he's like, and he just emailed back like, I'm not really comfortable with it, but I'm going to do it anyway. He's like, that was just a joke. We're not really going to produce that episode.
Well, I just heard the podcast, What the Fuck?
Yeah.
When they're doing Glenn Howerton, is that his name, in Charlie Day?
Yeah.
And their original deal with him is that they shoot like what they need for the entire season with him like in like 10 days, 18 days. And then, of course, he just fell in love with it now. He's just on the – whatever the – he'll work around their schedule because he's so proud of what's going on in the show.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And he's like, they say he's nothing but the easiest guy to work with.
Yeah.
You know, that's cool. So big props, Danny D.
Yeah.
All right. So my number three, he kind of, I feel like maybe now he might be more of a lead guy, but back in the day he was super character actor and had really small parts and things. And I put Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Nice.
Nice.
Yeah. Definitely.
I mean, would you think he's a lead now?
He's still a character.
Okay. No, he's still a character.
He only gets the lead if it's an ensemble.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or if the guy is a non-traditional leading man, like, you know, biopic stuff,
uh-huh.
you know. yes, does he has he lead? Yeah, but he's definitely a character, more of a, on the character actor tip. You know, yeah, that's a good good pull. That's another one.
Yeah, he's so good. He's one of those characters in the movies that you just that's the character you remember from the movie. Like Almost Famous, he's such a small part, but he's just like super awesome. His character is just so good in it. Like, that's the one thing that I would always remember him from. Whenever I saw him in other things, I'm like, oh, that's the guy from Almost Famous. I can never remember his name, you know?
But, Scent of a Woman?
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Everyone forgets he played a teenager.
Yeah.
He played the little jerk.
The douche.
Yeah.
Good pull.
And Boogie Nights.
Boogie Nights.
He's so good in that.
He's so
good. When he tries to kiss Mark Wahlberg.
He's like, I'm sorry. He's playing Scotty.
Yeah. Scotty.
He's like, Scotty, what did you do? What did you do that for?
I'm really drunk, wasted.
He wasn't drunk at all.
I love that. That scene, and the scene, off, obviously the scene that follows that, where he's alone in the car freaking out.
He's
so awesome in that. It's a good. Good pull. In Magnolia.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Magnolia as the hospice.
That's right.
Yeah.
He had some great scenes with Tom Cruise and Jason Robart.
The Jason Robart stuff is just
it's so good.
Yeah, he's great. He really is freaking just awesome.
Oh yeah, I actually liked that Pirate Radio movie. It was okay.
Oh yeah,
yeah, and he's great.
He was good in that one too. Yeah.
I guess his most famous thing that you might know him, and he was kind of the lead in, was Mission Impossible 3.
Yeah.
He was so good.
Yeah. Good villain.
That's my favorite Mission Impossible was Mission Impossible 3. I thought they got every single moment right because they gave Tom Cruise a really good, challenge. And then Philip Seymour Hoffman played such an amazing, evil, evil bad guy.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Like, you really despised, you're like, you're just evil. Mm-hmm. You are just not, you are really just a terrible human being.
Yeah.
You know, but without being caricature, you know.
Oh, no,
I love, and he'll take swings at comedy, like Punch Drunk Love. I'm pulling all my Seymour, he's also a very nice, like a really kind of a gracious guy. If you listen to Inside the Actor Studio, he mentions my buddy John Ortiz. He mentions other people as part of his success.
Yeah, yeah.
That aren't, and then he, of course, led that movie Johnny Goes on a Boat Ride or something that.
John Goes Boating.
Goes Boating with, which is Johnny Ortiz. But yeah, and then when he got the Oscar, all his Oscars things, he gave Mark Pellegrino props and Clifford Collins.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's like one of these guys that doesn't take as much credit for his work.
Yeah.
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 As what he should. And then also Moneyball. He was just flawless. He's just flawless.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And speaking of flawless, another Philip Seymour Hoffman with Bobby De Niro.
Flawless.
Pulling that out.
Yeah.
Big Lebowski, too.
Yeah.
Boom. Brent. Nice.
He's a Brent can't watch, or he has to pay $100. he's such a great actor. And, the movies he has headlined, he's been great. Happiness.
Oh, yeah. The movie he did with Laura Linney.
Savages.
You know, he's really good at playing an extreme pussy and then also an extreme asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He really can do – he's great.
He's got the face for both, too.
Yes, he does. Yep. Just which do something awesome, subtly different.
Wasn't he and John C. Reilly, weren't they trading parts in True West? Yeah.
And it's really – because I guess when I think Reilly played it – like when he played the older brother, he played a little more physical.
Mm-hmm.
Where Philip Seymour Hoffman played it more, I guess more intimidating. Not physically, but more emotionally intimidating. Yeah. Like he didn't need to be physical.
Yeah,
you know,
he emotionally intimidated instead of physical.
Yeah, like in other words, he had that that I guess the built-in big brother power.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but that would also be a testament to John C. Reilly's acting. That he would be so intimidating.
Yeah.
That's the only way we're grateful.
They were doing a play on Broadway. I don't know if they were doing True West, the play, and there was only two characters. And there's also a rumor that they would flip a coin and see who would go.
Who would play which part.
And they would trade parts. So they knew each other's parts really well, and they would just trade off parts.
Oh, really?
So depending what night you went, you could see the other guy do each part. So
yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that would have been cool to see. The only thing is that you wouldn't know who was playing what part.
Exactly.
Day. You're like, oh, is this John C. Reilly day?
It's sort of like when Sammy Hagar and David Lee Roth went on tour.
Sometimes you wouldn't see one of them.
They would flip the coin. Yeah. They go, who's headlining today? Yeah.
And depending on who closed,
Yeah.
Maybe the opener didn't show up, maybe?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I didn't know about that politics.
But yeah, that's a really good pick so far. I mean, everybody's picks have been in my honorable mentions. No overlap. And is it my turn?
Yep.
My number three, correct?
Yep.
Is David Strathairn.
Nice.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of nice.
Yeah. Yeah, you might know him from 8 Men Out, right?
Mm.
The most famous thing I guess you know him as that was huge was like the Bourne Ultimatum in the Bourne. Was he in both movies? No, he was in just the Bourne Ultimatum.
Just the Ultimatum, yeah.
He played Noah Vosa, and he was like the guy chasing him.
I think Good Night and Good Luck was pretty big because he was nominated.
He was nominated for that, and he was the lead for that.
He was the lead for that, yeah. And he's in a ton of stuff you would know him as. If you watch TV, he's kind of like the Professor Xavier of the new show, Alphas, which is really good, actually. It was way better than Heroes and stuff.
Okay.
And he's been in so many things. It literally, you've seen him in a bunch. He's been in The Sopranos. He's been in... Oh, man. Like, if I went down the list, it'd be... too effing long. LA Confidential, remember him?
Yeah, like, you know, but I mean, to me, 8 Men Out really put him on the map for me, I was like, because I know exactly that when he has to go and beg for his bonus.
Yes.
That's what I like about, like, you just remember him, you know, you just go, that's just a guy being, that's a human being.
Living,
you know? So, yeah, that's a classy choice.
And not only does he play, like, he plays, like, just the range of characters again in 8 Men Out is very different from Good Night and Good Luck, which Good Night and Good Luck is so good and, you know, it's so underrated.
See, I'm not a fan of that movie.
Really?
I'm not. I'll tell you why. I thought it was, I didn't get to come. You know what I'm saying? No, I mean, like, in other words, I thought it was, I would have rather seen a documentary than, you know, that. I mean, like, there's nothing wrong. I mean, to me, actually, Julie, the lady that plays, Meg on the voice of Meg on
Mila Kunis.
No, not Mila. The Family Guy. The wife on Family Guy.
Oh, Alex Borstein.
Borstein to me, because I was like, it took me like the entire film to figure out it was Alex Borstein. You know, and she was so everybody was so good.
Yeah.
But I thought there was missing drama. You compare that to The Front, or, you know, movies about the similar subject. But, you know, I just think it was, I was like, I think a documentary would have been more dramatic. Yeah. I mean, I didn't drink the fucking Kool-Aid, my friend.
I loved it.
I did not drink the Kool-Aid.
I really liked it.
Yeah.
Nah, watch it again.
Robert Downey Jr., it was amazing, that too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, no, like I said, not a bad acting moment. I just thought it was a boring documentary. Not a great, exciting documentary. That's just my view, but continue. But he was incredible. Yeah. Like I said, there's not a bad actor in the bunch. It was amazing to watch. Yeah.
He plays a great villain in The Bourne Ultimatum.
Yep.
Awesome.
And, yeah.
And, I mean, he does great with comedy, Sneakers.
That's right.
Sneakers is great with that. Yeah.
Wow.
He's so good.
Wow, that's right. Holy shit. And that was a huge cast, too.
Yes, it was.
That was a huge cast.
A lot of character actors in that. Donald Logue playing the villain.
I forgot about Donald Logue. Holy shit. Yeah. Go on.
Yeah, he lives up the street. Sometimes
I was in a movie with him.
What? That's right, Blade.
Blade, bitch.
How cool was he?
He was really cool. You know what is so weird? I see him at the gym. He was trying to get in shape for something. And I've always wanted to go and say, you know, because I don't look the same. And I had just seen Jerry Maguire right before I went to do the table read of Blade. And he was awesome in it. And he only had, like, you know, I think he was only maybe in like 4 minutes the whole movie combined. But he was really, you know, and I remembered him from other things he had done.
Yeah.
And I think, I just saw Jerry Maguire, you were great. And he goes, I wasn't in it much. I was like, yeah, but you didn't stick out. You were just perfect. I just liked you. And I don't know if he thought I was kissing. I mean, I just really appreciate good acting.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I think it is a shame Terriers got canceled.
Yeah,
because he was fucking amazing in that movie.
And that was a really good show.
And Tao Steve, but
yeah, oh yeah,
and he's not on my list. But damn it, there's so many.
Well, we got to talk about him a little bit.
There's so many, but you're right. There's so many.
And yeah, that was my number three.
Nice. Okay, so my number three is Peter Stormare.
Ooh, really good one. Really good one.
I was almost thinking about just taking a Coen Brothers film and going with. That would be my whole list because there's tons of great character actors in Coen films.
Mm-hmm.
He's great because, again, he can do great comedy and then he can be very scary. But I mean, Fargo, Jurassic Park, The Lost World, Big Lebowski. He's got such a small part, but you remember him in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of my favorite parts of Armageddon.
Yeah, me too. I was
he's
just saying
so
that.
He's so good in Armageddon.
He's Russian equipment, American equipment, all made in China. And he was good as the devil in
That's
Constantine.
Constantine, he just steals the show in Constantine as the devil.
Yeah.
I mean, 8mm, not a very good movie, but he's
great.
He's great as Dino. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's very creepy and very evil in it. But yeah, I mean, everything I see him in, Dancer in the Dark, he's great, and he's mm-hmm. got a good singing voice. He's a really, really good actor, and like I said, he can do great comedy, and then he can just do this deadpan, kind of creepy, but can be kind of funny. Like in Fargo, just some of the looks that he gives Steve Buscemi in Fargo, mm-hmm. where he doesn't say anything, are brilliant.
And you forgive his dialect.
Yes.
Yeah. What is he?
He is the Liam Neeson of character actors. Yeah. You don't care. You buy him as an American or whatever he's doing.
Let's see. Where is he from?
He's also in. He plays, like you said, he's so funny and like because even in comedies he plays like really serious.
Yes.
Which makes it even funnier. Like he's a Nacho Libre. And he's funny. That's right.
Yeah.
He's the guy that tells him to go eat an eagle egg, and he was a genius in that.
He's Swedish.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
The Swedes are coming on strong this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they got some good... that dude from The Killing is pretty amazing. You know, and
he's
going
to be RoboCop.
Yeah, and then the guy from True Blood, that I think he's really freaking amazing. The Swedes got some good actors.
But yeah, Stellan Skarsgård?
Yeah. That's his son.
Alex.
Yeah.
Oh, he's got the... there's a son?
No, Stellan Skarsgård is his dad.
No.
He's the guy that was the scientist in Avengers.
Avengers.
That's his dad.
That's his dad.
Yeah.
Wow.
Good Will Hunting, remember? He's a good... Another character actor.
Yeah.
He is one of my honorable mentions for sure.
Wow, yeah. That's the thing is there's so many. There's so many. And you can even get kitschy with some of these too.
Yep.
You know? All right, so my number two?
Yep.
John Caziesel.
Ooh.
Ah.
Yeah.
Not a bad movie.
Nope.
Not a bad movie.
Nope.
You know,
he's so
and cool. It's a shame that he left this world too soon. And I think on the set of Deer Hunter, he's actually dying.
Really?
I did not know that.
Yeah, he's actually, he's dying. And Meryl Streep they were involved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To go from like playing Sonny to playing the character he played in Deer Hunter and then the conversation. And then Dog Day Afternoon. He wasn't Sonny. I mean, Sonny in Dog Day Afternoon. But the Fredo.
Fredo, yeah.
To go from the simple minded character.
Yeah.
With all these arcs and just how he changed and how he really captured a human being that wasn't smart enough to think of the could only kind of live in the present
mm-hmm.
because like thinking that knowing his family, knowing that. thinking his brother could actually forgive him, it's just really crazy. He plays a great drunk.
Yeah.
Yes,
he does. And what he did in Deer Hunter, kind of like a dick.
Yeah.
A womanizing dick, wife beater.
Which is funny because like the contrast between that and like The Godfather where he plays kind of like he does, it's kind of like like his character in Godfather, I always figured he was like a dog that didn't know better. Didn't
yeah.
He? Well, because he was remember he was sick as a kid that caused brain damage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he just like I never faulted him. Like he's just like he didn't know. He didn't know. Like he just like he didn't know that his kids were going to be there and his wife's.
He was
just,
very easily duped. Yeah. He was not smart.
Yeah.
And he really captured it. Like, that's like all the guys in Boogie Nights, they really captured that cognitive dissonance of stupidity that you have to be that porn star. The same way that he really captured that dimness.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then even Sonny in Dog Day Afternoon was, when the cops say, take your finger off the tree, just to be that stupid in that scenario. And then Conversation, he's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
He's there's so many. God, I love movies. I love actors.
There's a great, there's a documentary that he did.
It's been released. Yeah. I know. I've been wanting to see that, and they just praise him for 90 minutes, and they should.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
I think every movie he was in got nominated for an Academy Award.
Yeah.
Maybe even, did Conversation win? I know it was nominated.
I think he might have won something.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Someone's yelling at this. That's how I did win something. I think it did. It was nominated for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And
everything he did got nominated for an Academy.
You have what's his name? Harrison Ford as a character actor.
Yes. Everyone forgets he was a little Apocalypse Now. Yeah. Coppola liked him. A little movie Coppola produced called Greedy. Yeah, exactly. And American Graffiti too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great pick.
Okay, so my number two has recently just blown up, and he is one of those character actors that really deserved it. I think out of like almost any character actor, he deserved finally to like be so well known, and he's finally getting all the recognition he deserves. And my number two pick is Steve Buscemi.
That's my number one.
Oh, nice.
Wow. See, I almost put him on the list, but I said someone's got to grab him. Yeah, he's fucking awesome.
Yes,
he is. He's great in seriously everything.
Yes.
And he can do any type of movie. And he's got one of those faces. Mm-hmm. He can do any face. He can do any type of personality. He can do any type of movie. He's just all around a fantastic actor. And he so deserved Boardwalk Empire. Like, deserved that.
And who would have thought he could be kind of a romantic lead.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, like, in a real, like, he's carrying that series.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And he's just, I mean, and I just, I've, you know, I've always freaking, I fucking loved him since, you know, I remember seeing, you know, Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah.
And that's when I was first really exposed to him, and then just going, man, he's just fucking awesome.
It's funny, two stories about him. He was in the special edition Reservoir Dogs. They interview Sam Jackson, and he was supposed to be Mr. Pink. He auditioned for it.
Sam Jackson?
Yeah. And then he's like, he was really upset, and then he went to Sundance, and they were all there with Reservoir Dogs. And he's like, all right, well, check out this movie, see who took my part. And he saw it, and he said, well, I couldn't have done better than that. This guy just, like, he was amazing.
No, he really was. Honestly, he got Tarantino got everybody's great performance in that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I think that's one of his most original scripts. Other things, I think they're kind of like, he's like, it's a DJ version of film. Mm-hmm. But I really love Reservoir Dogs, and if it wasn't, his writing good, but if it wasn't for all those character actors just delivering all these great lines, then, you know, he might have not had that success.
I think he casts well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think he casts well, and he will also give these, he takes guys he really, really, I mean, look at, like, you know, he'll Travolta, gave Travolta the comeback, and Samuel Jackson, you know, a big bump.
And the Jackie Brown guy.
Forster. Ben Forster. Mm-hmm. I mean, he really loves movies.
Yeah.
He loves TV, and I mean, it's pretty cool, you know, it's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. Tarantino's full of character actors.
Yeah.
Every single one of those movies, character actors.
Yeah.
Great pick.
Yeah.
No one has a sucky pick.
No.
And no one, well, you're the first one to cockblock.
I know. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, that's cool.
It was bound to happen.
Yeah. Where are we? Number two?
Yep.
My number two is William Forsythe.
Oh,
dude, you son of a bitch. I didn't put him on, but I so forgot about he is one of Cockeye from Once Upon a Time in America.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, dude. You are right.
Yeah. And he's also in Boardwalk Empire. He plays the Jewish guy.
The Jewish butcher.
Yeah.
And
you know him from Raising Arizona.
My God. He smiled at me.
Yeah.
You know him from The Rock.
Devil's Rejects.
Devil's Rejects. Yeah. American Me. Yeah.
American Me. He is... one of those guys that can, his face is all, but he also does play a different human being exceptionally well.
Mm-hmm.
He was also in the TV series Untouchables.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad he came back in Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a motherfucker too. It took me a while. It took me like two episodes. Is that, you know, where you go, is that William Forsythe? And then going, that's, wow, he's so good.
And even in the small part, when he was playing like smaller parts, like he was really funny in Blue Streak.
Yeah.
He's like, he's just like, he can play funny, he can play serious, yeah. he can play menacing, he can play tough. Mm-hmm. It's just like.
Play dumb.
Yeah.
I mean, remember,
Raising Arizona is.
Raising, kind of, he plays an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In such a lovable. And then Things to Do in Denver When You're Dead. Yeah. He's, oh, yeah. he's incredibly. I mean, you're right. He is a great actor. Yeah.
And yeah, he's my number two.
Nice.
Nice. Okay, so my number two is my second Deadwood person, and it's Brad Dourif.
Yep. Yeah. I almost said,
honorable mention. Honorable, awesome.
I love Brad Dourif. I mean, just going through his list. I mean, you start off with Cuckoo's Nest,
yeah. mm-hmm.
where he plays just a sweet, endearing character, mm-hmm. and then he becomes Frank Booth's henchman in Blue Velvet, and he's very creepy yes. and mean.
Mississippi Burning.
Yes, Mississippi Burning. I mean, of course, he's the voice of Chucky, yep. and he's great.
Mm-hmm.
He plays. He's in one of the best like episodes of X-Files, and he's so creepy. And then he plays one of his creepiest characters as Grima Wormtongue in Two Towers.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
And then of course Deadwood, where he plays Doc Cochran, and he's so, I mean, he's great.
Amazing. Yes, amazing.
So good as Doc Cochran. When I started watching that show, I was like, holy crap, Brad Dourif is amazing in mm-hmm. this part. And I just wouldn't have expected it, but I mean, he's so good.
I always, whenever I see him in a movie pop up and I don't know about his character, I'm always like, oh, yeah. I don't trust this guy.
Exactly.
I don't trust Edvers because of Chucky. And in that movie, Child's Play wouldn't have worked without his voice.
Mm-hmm. It wouldn't.
He's got such a scary, menacing voice mm-hmm. that the puppet. I we even rewatched it last Halloween, I think.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for his voice, there's some puppeteering. Mm-hmm. The work wasn't the best.
No.
But his voice is what sold it and what was scary about that movie.
Exactly.
Wasn't he in The Third Exorcist?
Yes, he was.
That's yeah. I just realized
he's really good in The Third Exorcist.
That's a good trilogy.
Yeah.
I was like, I'd forgotten about that. I was like, that's right. That was really amazing.
But yeah, I mean, he's terrific in anything he does. I don't think there's anything yeah. that I've seen him in. I'm like, oh, Brad Dourif, you weren't good. He's great, and he can morph himself, and he can play sleazy, yep. and then he can play just a regular, good-hearted, normal person.
Yeah, I agree. Great, great pick. Damn, a lot of good picks tonight. I'm jealous that this list wasn't 10 picks long.
No. Yeah. I almost wanted to just go for movies that were full of character actors.
That's true. That's for another podcast.
Oh, you bet. Because I was going to do that all my honorable mention. Where I was going to go with the movies that were just chock full of characters.
Well, don't burn them, because what if you're back for that episode?
Oh, I'd come up with more. Right. Okay, my number one?
Do a recap.
Okay, my number five was Vincent Scavalli.
Mm-hmm.
My number four was was John C. Reilly, but originally it was going to be John C. McGinley, but John C. Reilly. I pushed him out. Number three, Danny DeVito. Number two, John Caziel. I think I'm saying it right.
Yeah.
And then
Caziel, I think.
Caziel?
Yeah.
I'm from Kansas, and I have a public school education, so and I went to University of Arizona, so I'm terrible with that stuff. But my number one, Ned Beatty.
Nice. Nice.
I know, just for the suffering he did in Deliverance. No,
Mr. Luthor.
Yeah, yes. For Superman. Also, we forget how amazing he was in Network.
Yeah,
Rudy. Yeah. Roseanne. The episodes of Roseanne he did, and I just went. He really is a fucking great actor, you know. And he really put himself out there in a lot of stuff. I mean, got raped, for God's sakes.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's an old joke saying, hey, Ned Beatty's agent calling him when he got Deliverance. I got good news. I got bad news for you. What's the good news? You're the third lead in a movie starring Burt Reynolds and John Voight. Oh, what's the bad news? You're going to get raped by him. But no, he's just a great actor. And he also is another steam sealer.
Yes.
You know, always steals the scene.
I mean, those scenes in Rudy, just playing the dad, when he finds out that Rudy is going to Notre Dame and he just takes so much pride in it,
mm-hmm.
he's so good.
When he walks into the stadium for the first time.
And he's like, this is the greatest sight these eyes have ever seen.
And he's just great. And then, like, he's in Network for, I think, 7 minutes.
Yeah.
And that speech is just fire and brimstone and is amazing. And then him as a klutz in, you know, the Superman movies.
Yeah.
He's just great, and he's. And, oh God, this list is too short.
Yep,
it's too short.
Yeah,
yeah.
Good pick. Damn you, Jenny. Your recap.
All right, my recap. My number five was Richard Jenkins. Four, Alan Rickman. Three, Philip Seymour Hoffman. Two, Steve Buscemi. And my number one is one of my favorite actors. He's got, again, one of those faces. And I actually saw one of those memes that's like the many faces of Gary Oldman.
Wow.
And I did it. Yeah. He's kind of one of those guys that's kind of more in the spotlight a little bit now, but he's always a supporting before
that. He steals more scenes as a character
actor than as he does. Yeah. See, you know what it is that he was a lead, but he kind of went, you know what? I kind of like being number two.
Because he shines more.
He shines more. Even like, you know, like when he carries a movie, the movie kind of sometimes doesn't do too well. But if he's the number two, even if the movie sucks, he will steal the movie. Like he stole, you know, the movie he did with Sean Penn, State of Grace.
Yeah.
Ripped it. Just yanked it from him. And then Batman.
The Professional.
Fifth Element.
Fifth Element. You know, yeah.
One of my favorite characters.
Yeah. You know, and he's fucking pretty cool. Gary Oldman.
Sirius Black.
Yeah.
I love Harry Potter. So I'm a huge Sirius Black fan.
True Romance.
Drexel. You know, it's funny. A girl broke my heart. I actually read for the crossing guard.
Oh.
And when she had to read at Sean Penn's house. That's where he was having some of the callbacks. And Gary Oldman was there. He was being the reader.
Wow.
What?
Yes. Ugh. And she was like, you're not going to believe it. Guess who I read with? I go, Sean Penn. No. Guess. I don't know. Gary Oldman. And this is Crossing Guard was 94?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is like at the peak of Gary Oldman.
Wow.
You know, so she was like, I go, did you get his number? Yes. My heart was broken. No, I didn't get his number. But he's a cool guy. Another little story about Gary Oldman from a friend of mine, he's been working a lot lately, had this script for a short film. Daughter goes to the same private school as, I guess, Gary Oldman's son or daughter or something. And his wife goes, just give me your script. He gives Gary, and it's not a great script. He gives Gary Oldman the script. Gets a call 2 weeks later and goes, yeah, I'll do it. Okay. So he goes, oh, great. He doesn't think he's going to pull through. A week and a half later goes by. Hey, this is Gary. I'm at a used clothing store. I'm kind of looking for a wardrobe idea. Do you want to, you have any ideas? He goes, I'll come right down. So Gary, I mean, he's taking this, not, you know, the guy even admits it's not a great script. You know, he did it as a joke. I mean,
he did it as a long shot.
Yeah. But Gary Oldman, I mean, just, I think he did it because the daughters, you know, and the guy's like a nice guy, whatever the reason is. So now they eventually go to shoot and he had to get everything cheap. Okay. Something happened inside the camera. And the film was all fucked up.
Oh.
So Gary calls the next day. But Gary doesn't know this. Calls like the next day and he goes, hey, how did everything go? He goes, I'm sorry I waste your time, but all the footage is fucked. He goes, what happened? He said something wrong with the, you know, whatever. The way he goes, well, let's shoot. He goes, I can't afford it. I'm broke. He goes, I'll call you back in an hour. Gary Oldman ended up funding.
Wow.
The whole fucking movie.
That's awesome.
You know what I'm saying? And I was like, I will always. And also, he backed away from the Star Wars movies because it wasn't union.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah, I think he did.
You know, so I'm like, you know what? That's a guy with freaking.
Wasn't he? He was going to play Qui-Gon, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I go, that is a guy. That is a guy that has a strong sense of morality and integrity.
Yeah. And he supports, you know,
the
industry.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I was like, that's really, I mean, yeah, so I'm a huge, I can't believe, that's another, yeah, Gary Oldman. There's just not enough Gary Oldman in this world.
Oh, no. Agreed.
That's true.
Yeah, Gary Oldman's so good. And everything he does.
Contender.
Yes, and so. What's great is he can play so much older, because I think he's probably maybe 50 at the old, he's not much older than me.
Yeah.
But he plays characters that are much older than himself.
My favorite line from The Contender is, we both have our guns drawn. I think I'm paraphrasing, but we both have our guns drawn, but mine are loaded. That's such a great line. And good number one. Damn you. all right. So my recap is number five, Pete Postlethwaite. Number four, Michael Ironside. Number three, David Strathairn. Number two, William Forsythe. And number one, my favorite actor, probably of all time, just because he's so subtle. He's just real. I never catch this guy. I've watched a lot of his films. He's got a lot of, but I never catch him like, he's not real. It's just like, you watch his characters and you're like, I know that guy. And I'm talking about is Harry Dean Stanton.
Yeah, I knew you were going to put him.
He's probably one of my number ones as well, but I wouldn't put him on the list because I knew I didn't want to steal the thunder because he's that good. This friend of mine once said, Harry Dean Stanton's the kind of actor that can take a not a good movie but make it like watchable, incredible.
Yep.
And that's him. Yeah.
And you probably know him as, I mean, if you're from the, if you were on the 80s, if you were a teenager in the 80s, you know him as the dad in, is it 16 Candles, right?
Pretty in Pink. That speech when he brings the dress.
Yeah. He's an alien. He's in The Godfather, actually. He plays one of the FBI guys.
Yes. Oh, he's one of the guards. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And is Lance Hendrickson that too? No.
No.
No, but it's Harry Dean Stanton. I remember that, yeah.
He's in Escape from New York.
Oh, yes.
If you watch HBO, he's in Big Love. He plays...
he's awesome. He's
Chloe Sevigny's father.
Father, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And...
he's the prophet.
Yeah, if you saw Avengers, he had a small little cameo as a security guard when Mark Ruffalo, or the Hulk, crashes through that building.
Yep.
God, that is him.
He gives him like a pair of pants.
That was one of my favorite scenes in that movie.
Yeah.
Then you really got a problem or something. Yeah.
He's like in every Sean Penn movie. He just, you know, he's really loved by Sean Penn. And he's a great Mexican folk singer.
Is he?
Oh.
He sings even in Big Love.
Yeah.
A lot of the songs he sang were Spanish folk songs. And a great, great singer and great poet and just an amazing, amazing actor. This is, besides Michael Ironside, this is the guy who I'm like,
Hurry up and make a film so you can have him.
Because he's really, really, and it's funny because he's really, really old, but he's still effing amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He used to hang out at the Improv all the time.
Really?
Yeah. I think he still does. He goes there and, you know, has a drink or two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just amazing, amazing, amazing actor. He's my number one.
Mm. Nice.
Good pick.
Okay, so my recap. 5 was Gary Cole. 4, Brian Cox. 3, Peter Stormare. 2, Brad Dourif. And my number one was Steve Buscemi.
Oh, that's right.
I'm sorry.
you stole the thunder.
The one that we overlapped on was your number one.
Was the very last one of the
night. I ruined the whole podcast. Yep. Great.
No.
All right, honorable mentions.
Yeah.
For me?
Yeah,
So I can't go with the movies.
Go with the actors. We'll talk about the movies. They're movies.
Because, I mean, there's four movies that are all, I mean, then I started thinking of the Coen, but without the Coen brothers, there's like these four, where it's just all full of freaking character actors.
What movies?
JFK.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Just shitloads. Everyone from John Candy to Vincent D'Onofrio, just people just popping in and out. Cuckoo's Nest is the king of character. I mean, that was like, that gave everybody, all these character actors a huge start. Mm-hmm. Network.
Yeah.
And then Blade Runner.
Yep.
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 You know, because, you know, had like Edward James Olmos, James, Brian James.
Yeah.
Just shitloads.
Rutger
Howard. But these would be my honorable mentions. Lynn Shea.
Yes.
The landlady from Something About Mary.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, Kingpin. I had Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why, because he plays different characters. Like literally different human beings every time. And now he's more of a character. You know, he's kind of like the dad and stuff. Steve Tobolowsky.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Charles Martin Smith, although he mostly directs now.
Yeah.
And I had Jack, my number six would be Jack Warden. The father in Problem Child 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Used Cars and Justice for All. You know, he's one of those guys that can be dramatic, but also just, he plays crusty old man better than anybody.
Yeah.
You know, he's the devil. You know, just he just delivers a line, you're busted. Those are mine. Yeah.
Nice. All right. So I put Alfred Molina.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Would John Lithgow
Yeah, totally.
William H. Macy.
Awesome.
Stanley Tucci.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Danny Trejo.
Trejo?
Trejo?
Yeah.
Is that how you say it?
The Mexican guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a great character.
He's got
actor.
A crazy face.
Yeah.
And then... I love him in... have you guys seen Bubble
Boy? Bubble Boy, a very underrated, awesome movie. Oh, Zach Galifianakis playing the toll boy.
Yeah, I'll have you know it's really hot in here. And I'm wearing ankle weights.
And Jake Gyllenhaal is amazing in that movie. Yeah. Amazing in that movie.
He stole my girlfriend. He's like, you should cut the vato. He's all, but I don't want to cut the vato.
he was really good. John Turturro.
I love
him in Oh Brother Rat Thou.
He's Rounders.
Rounders.
He was amazing.
Miller's Crossing.
All the Coen Brothers stuff he did. Mm-hmm. And the Jesus.
Yes.
I did not like him in the Transformers.
I would agree with you.
But everything else, I'm like.
I think he was just like, hey, I'm getting paid a lot to be
I'm going to go
fucking over the top.
That's right. But you know what's crazy is, did you ever see, what was the movie he directed about his father? Oh, my God. It was awesome. It's about his father who basically had a dream to build some track housing.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I know exactly. I know
it's
the title,
really,
I know
really good.
Yeah,
it's so good. Yeah. It's so good, yeah. And then, the Spike Lee flicks, you know.
Oh, yeah. Do the Right Thing.
Do the Right Thing and Jungle Fever. Mm-hmm. He stole Jungle Fever for me.
He's also in that movie.
Rounders he stole, too, I thought.
Fuck. What's that Spike Lee movie? The one where the dude's impregnating the girls?
Oh,
Girl Six?
No. It was like one of the...
I can't remember. I didn't see it, but I remember what you're talking about.
I saw it, and John Turturro was the only good part of the movie.
That's funny because
there's some crazy sex scenes.
I like Spike Lee, but he made some really shitty movies. But that's all he wanted to do. He said, I just want to have the right to make a bad movie like a white guy. And I went, when I saw Mo Better Blues, I said, mission accomplished, my friend. Mission accomplished. But good. Is that all the honorable mentions?
Oh, and Bryan Cranston, because he's still considered.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yep. Oh,
especially
yes.
in Drive. Ugh. Yeah. He didn't get enough credit for that movie. He was so good in that one.
Well, and I just saw, it's not a good movie. It's not that it's a bad movie. It's just not a very good movie. Larry Crown.
Yeah.
Mm. He was really good in it. He was really good. And I'm actually looking forward to seeing him in Argo.
Total Recall. He plays Cole Hagen.
And I can't wait for the next season of Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm so ready.
See, and that's what's so great about him, because like what he does in Breaking Bad is just such the polar opposite of what he did in Malcolm in the Middle.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I know. I love it.
And he's freaking, it's just his character growth in Breaking Bad.
Uh-huh.
He's just great. He's freaking awesome.
He's fantastic.
So who do I have? Let's see. Is that all, was that the end of the list?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I have Stephen Lang.
Okay.
Nice.
He play and then he what else? I have William Fichtner.
Nice.
I have
Let's talk about William Fichtner. You're right. He really is kind of just a character guy, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just pops in like in the cops, he normally plays cops, right?
Yeah, mostly. A lot of the time.
Yeah.
He also was in
Black Hawk Down.
And
he was in Wings originally, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Black Hawk Down, he was so great. Yeah.
People know him as he plays in the beginning of Dark Knight.
Dark Knight. Yes.
It's funny. The story behind that is that Christopher Nolan was watching Heat a lot for the inspiration for that.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, I got to get somebody from Heat in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I think he tried to get somebody bigger. And I remember it was one of the big names in that movie. Mm-hmm. And I guess they couldn't do it because of the time. And he's like, all right, well, I'll call William Fichtner. And he's like, yeah. And
that was such a great scene.
Yeah.
And thank you for buying the tickets for that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's right. I forgot about that. We went together.
I should have been working on my audition for Coen Brothers movie.
Well, did. Well, we're eating lunch. We were just fucking around.
But here's what's so funny is it was Serious Man or Desperate Man?
Yeah, Serious Man.
Not Jeffrey Tambor, but who's the dude from Spin City got the part that I auditioned for, which it was about a Jewish family. Look at me, I look like Hitler's wet dream. So it was just but continue.
E.M. Walsh,
nice one.
Yeah,
Blade Runner as well, right? E.M. Walsh.
Yep. And then I have one of my favorites, a younger guy, Michael Shannon.
Yes.
Yeah. I guess, yeah.
Now he's starting to get that. Now he's, well, he's only, the main villain in Superman.
He's only playing, you know, he tends to play the prime, you know, Tony Blair a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess he would be a character. Would be a leader. Yeah.
I mean, he has led some movies, but.
Yeah. It's the guy that played Tony Blair, right?
No,
that's thinking
Michael Sheen.
Michael, I'm sorry, I fucked up.
Michael Sheen's kind of a character actor.
Yeah.
He plays the FBI guy in Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah.
Oh, you are 100% correct. That's
what was that new movie that he just...
Take Shelter.
Take Shelter. That is James Franco's favorite actor.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. That's wow. And he is. And well, then The Runaways.
Yeah.
Eight Mile.
Yeah.
Now I got the right Michael. Not Michael Sheen, but Michael Sheen. You're right. He is a character actor who's gotten some leads. But Take Shelter. They just took Boardwalk Empire and dumped two cast members in there.
Yeah.
That is a freaking amazing performance about one man spiral into.
Yeah.
And he's right. That's what I love about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, that's a good movie. That's a great movie.
And I was thinking about this, and Christopher Nolan likes to pepper in a lot of character actors.
Of course.
And like in Inception, he had.
Pete Postlewaite.
Not only Pete Postlewaite, but.
Tom Berenger.
Tom Berenger.
See, and it's so weird. Tom Berenger was a lead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
But he kind of.
He became a character.
He became a character actor because of age and drugs and alcohol. Yeah.
And then in Seven, he had Joey Pants, and he also had the guy.
Memento?
Yeah, a Memento, sorry. What did I say?
Seven.
You said Seven, yeah, which, sorry, that's funny. Yeah, Joey Pants is an odd.
Yeah, Joey Pants.
Forgot about Joey Pants.
And then
Jesus Christ.
The guy with the beard, Mark Boone Jr., he's also in Batman Begins. Yeah. He's also, I think he might be in the motorcycle gang show.
Yes, he is.
Oh,
Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah. He's a guy with a crazy beard. He's kind of a little overweight. He's another character. He's in everything. You recognize his face. This is what he looks like. If you see him.
Oh, yeah.
He's been in like a bunch of things.
But I know mostly from Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah.
And that's where he really exploded.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And even in like in the new Dark Knight Rising, he's got a lot of character actors in that. Like from like some of the guys from the Dennis Leary Fire Show.
Oh yeah. Rescue Me.
He's got a lot of guys from there. A lot of character actors from there. Right?
Well, he's got the guy that played the original kind of like chief.
No, he's got the Hispanic guy.
Oh, he does.
The Hispanic looking guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's basically it for my list.
Okay, I had Frances McDormand.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Clancy Brown.
Nice. Really, that yeah.
Stephen Root.
Yeah.
I love Stephen Root.
Oh yeah.
Chris Cooper.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Brendan Gleeson.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And one person that I really wanted to put on the list, but I haven't seen enough of his movies, the original Lon Chaney.
Ooh. I thought about Lon Chaney as well.
But I haven't seen enough of his movies. I've only seen The Unknown and Phantom of the Opera, and he's terrific.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't want to put him on the list if I've only seen a couple of his
movies. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. That was the exact same thing I thought. Well, Lon Chaney's the original character actor.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's so, I mean, I went to IMDb. I just, I typed in character actors just kind of see what their definition is. And there's that list of 300.
300?
Yeah,
300. I'm going to have to check that out.
I only got to like the first page because I always, that one. You know, someone's going to pick that one. And, you know, not like that should prevent you from making your top list. But that's the thing that's interesting about the show is that there's, whenever I, like the second time I've done it, is I don't want to, I won't, because the subjects are so broad, you kind of want to make sure
you hit everybody.
Hit as many as possible. And there's so many we've left out.
Yeah.
Especially on this list.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because a lot of, like I said, like, you know, Tom Berenger at one time was a leading man.
Yeah.
And then slowly became a character actor.
Yeah.
Just like, well, Eric Roberts is sort of in that vein too. Well, he was kind of a character actor, became kind of a leading man, then back to character actor.
But a lot of these guys that go into character acting become, I think, much more valuable.
Yeah.
Well, to me, I mean, mm-hmm. yeah, they're making less money and it's bad for them, but I'm saying they outshine themselves as character actors. Mm-hmm. Like Eric Roberts was amazing in Dark Knight, I thought.
Yeah,
oh,
well,
great.
Remember guys are recognizing your saint on screen for what, 30 seconds?
Mm-hmm. Steals
the
whole
movie.
Yeah.
Steals the whole movie. Or who was another, like another guy that was originally a leading man that now is like he's just enjoying being a character actor.
Bill Murray.
He's still kind of the lead, though.
But
he's a character because he's goofy looking. He's a comedian that has always kind of just done his. He's such a powerhouse because of the he's got so much fuck you money.
Yeah, from his days Royal Tenenbaums. He's so subtle. And
like all the stuff he does with the Anderson, is it Wes Anderson?
Wes Anderson.
Is the Royal Tenenbaums, and then also what he does in, I think, Rushmore.
Yeah,
I think is the best we've. I think the best Bill Murray we've ever seen.
Yeah,
I think. I mean, it's between that and Lost in Translation, but like. He's there's so many he's like another guy that's just he's more although he is by definition a character actor but he's never really only a few times he's been the character actor
but the times he's done it you were like
he's almost a character because he's just not a traditional leading man you know it just but yes he's because he's not a leading man you know he's too goofy looking you know. But, yeah, there's so many.
Dan Aykroyd, I really like. I don't think he's the greatest actor, but when he does supporting stuff, I really like him.
Yeah, well, if you put him in the right stuff.
When he's in Adam Sandler stuff, he's really funny, I thought. He's really good supporting stuff.
Has he done something with Adam Sandler?
Yeah, he did, like, the one with Drew Barrymore.
Oh, Chuck and Larry.
Chuck and Larry, he played like, the chief.
That's right, I forgot.
He does a lot of stuff with him, I think. He likes him.
Yeah, you know, he's having a good life.
Yeah.
His House of Blues.
And he loves his conspiracies and stuff.
Oh, big conspiracy guy.
Yeah. All right. Is there anything else?
Nope, that's it.
Nope. All right. Post on our Twitter or our Facebook some of your picks, some of your favorite character actors. And you could find us on the internet at thelistfilmpodcast.com. You can find us on Twitter at the film podcast. Right?
Yeah.
And then you could find me on Twitter at Ricardo, ULTRERAS.
I'm at Jenei, JEHNEIGH.
EricEdwards.com.
Go
to EricEdwards.com. What's my Twitter? Hold on. I'm trying to think what it is. I got it here somewhere.
What's yours, Kev?
I'm at KZuberBeer. That's ZUBERBIER.
Well, if they go to your website at www.ericedwards.com, your Twitter's on there.
Yeah, my Twitter's on there. Yeah. But I think I got to start knowing how to say this shit. Hold on a second.
I think you're at Eric Edwards.
No, Eric Edwards 1.
1.
Oh.
O-N-E.
There's another Eric Edwards out there.
Yeah, ericedwards1.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, Eric Edwards 1.
Yeah. And, if you want to find out where Eric Edwards will be doing stand-up and stuff, he always usually posts it on Facebook. But
or go to ericedwards.com. There's a schedule. But I will be a little not so much because I'm injured right now.
Yeah.
I'm injured. I got getting rotator cuff surgery on both arms.
Yeah. And one's done.
One's done.
You're
doing it on both.
Yeah, I got to get the right one done. Yeah. So it's going to be very angry, pent up because my wife's pregnant. So we... maneuverability.
Yeah.
It's going to be the next longest stint of me not masturbating or having sexual contact since pre-13. Just being real, folks.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
That's the next play when I can't masturbate. That's what it's going to be.
Yeah.
Or cock blocked. You cock blocked yourself.
Yeah, yes.
Well, your doctor did because he gave you the surgery. So.
That's right. Well,
we'll blame him.
Hopefully my wife will be very generous with other things.
I hope she's not listening to this.
It's too long. She won't make it to the end of this.
she turned it off at one hour.
Yeah.
All right. So you could find us, on our websites and and then check out our other co-host who wasn't here, Adam Scott. You can check out his website. He reviews movies in depth, and he also reviews movies for MoviePass. So you can go to the MoviePass's blog, right?
I think it's blog.moviepass.com.
Yeah, or shootingthescript.com, and you could find them in both places. So
thanks for coming back, Eric.
Yeah, well, thank you.
I can't wait to come back again. This is a lot of fun. I feel intelligent.
Yeah. And until next time, have a good week.